And you're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Cromery. Thank you for tuning in. The Juneau Assembly may have found a path out of the red for its budget last night, but it wasn't easy. KTOO's Clarice Larson breaks down what they chose to cut and keep as the deadline nears for finalizing the city's budget for the next fiscal year.
It was a late-night finance committee meeting on Wednesday night for the Assembly. They spent more than 5 hours voting on a list of what to cut and what to keep as the city faces a multi-million dollar shortfall next fiscal year. There were a lot of numbers, amendments, and as Mayor Beth Weldon pointed out, things got messy.
Now I'm totally confused, and it's 10:30 at night.
Yes, and it is 10:30 at night.
The Assembly voted not to close the Douglas Fire Station, which was on the chopping block Wednesday night, but they did unanimously vote to close and sell the Mount Jumbo Gym. It voted last week to also preserve Juneau's pools, Diamond Park Fieldhouse, and social service grants. The Assembly also decided to not close the Juneau Douglas City Museum, but instead, they voted in a 7-2 split to reduce the museum's annual funding by $261,000. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr explained that it wouldn't close the museum, but it would mean laying off 2 staff members and drastically reducing the museum's hours.
The number of hours would be, I would say, more variable than they are right now because the staffing would be significantly reduced. And I would say the our ability to be open regular hours would be very challenging at this level, but we would have the ability to be open sometimes.
The roughly $250,000 cut would also eliminate the museum's capacity to host public programs like First Fridays, exhibit openings, and school class visits. Assemblymember Maureen Hall voted against any reductions to the museum, arguing there are other ways to balance the budget that wouldn't be as drastic.
It's our history, and I don't think we should be cutting off access to it as we ponder how to move forward.
The Assembly also voted to reduce funding to Travel Juneau, the city's landscaping budget, the Juneau Economic Development Council, the Jensen Olsom Arboretum, and eliminate an administrative support position in the city's administration department. The Assembly also advanced a plan that plays a significant role in getting the budget in the black. It voted to pull $2.7 million from a 1% temporary sales tax that voters approved in 2022, meant for the city's restricted budget reserve, and instead moved it to the general fund. The restricted budget reserve is essentially the city's rainy day fund and meant for extreme emergencies or unexpected events. The Assembly voted to maintain funding to the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, the Small Business Development Center, the city's Affordable Housing Fund, and the city's staff and travel training budget. Assemblymember Alicia Hughes-Scandes said supporting housing development is critical for Juneau's future.
We are in a super housing crisis. This is not the time that you press the brake. It is the time you hit the gas. It is not the time you reduce funds. I understand we are in the fiscal situation that we are in, but when you are looking for areas to make cuts, this is not where you look.
The Assembly is also looking at ways to increase city revenue, like revising the city's sales tax cap on some higher-priced items and services, and lowering the property tax hardship exemption income level. If the Assembly votes to act on any of those ways to increase revenue, it may choose to reverse some cuts made on Wednesday before it finalizes the budget. Assemblymember Christine Wall reminded the Assembly that nothing is permanent yet.
What we are trying to do tonight is come to a holistic budget that we can pass to the full Assembly so that the public can get one more opportunity to give us feedback on it. And nothing is set in stone until we vote as a full Assembly on June 8th.
Residents will have another chance to testify on the budget at a meeting on June 8th. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And a U.S. Forest Service plan to revamp the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center to accommodate more tourists will remain in place, with some additional paperwork. A federal court decided this month not to scrap the improvement project after ruling last year that the agency's planning process violated the law. KTOO's Alex Solomon has more.
The Forest Service's plan is to expand facilities around Mendenhall Glacier, Juneau's top tourist attraction. It includes building a new welcome center and 5 new cabins, improving the existing visitor center, paving more parking lots, and expanding trails. Catherine Miller, a longtime Juneau resident who lives nearby, sued the Forest Service in 2024 for focusing solely on facilitating more tourism during the planning process, without considering restricting the number of visitors. In its September ruling, the U.S. District Court for Alaska agreed with Miller that the agency's narrow focus violated the National Environmental Policy Act. The Forest Service's main error was that it said improvements are needed to accommodate an estimated 2% increase in visitors per year. All of the agency's options for the plan were designed to serve that purpose. Although the court agreed with Miller's assertion, it denied her request to throw out the plan. To fix the error, the court ordered the Forest Service to clarify the purpose of the project and consider a range of visitor growth projections, edits, essentially. In its order, the court agreed with the Forest Service that there's a serious possibility it would reach the same decision on the improvement plan. That's because the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, which sees an estimated 700,000 visitors annually, is already overcrowded, so facilities would need improvements even without more tourists. The annual capacity at the Visitor Center is a little more than 500,000 people. The improvement plan, as originally written, would have raised it to nearly 1 million people, with more than 80% allocated to commercial use. But the court ordered the agency to hold off on increasing the visitor capacity until it has remedied the legal issue. The Forest Service has secured $25 million for the project. In court files, the agency said it's already spent about $3 million on architecture and engineering. The agency is required to file a status update with the court in November. The Forest Service, U.S. Department of Justice, and Catherine Miller did not respond to requests for comment. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And a bill that would change the scope of an Alaska sexual assault law passed through the legislature Wednesday as part of a 10-bill package. Specifically, it alters a law that criminalizes sexual assaults by a medical provider.
Democratic Juneau Representative Sarah Hannon's bill comes after a high-profile sexual assault trial in the capital city that ended with two acquittals and 14 charges declared mistrials in September. The case involves more than a dozen former patients, predominantly Alaska Native women, who accused chiropractor Jeffrey Fultz of sexual assault under the guise of medical care while he worked at Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium in Juneau. As it stands now, a key part of the legal definition of sexual assault by a medical provider requires that the alleged victim isn't aware of sexual contact happening in the moment. That's what Hannon's bill would change, which she calls a loophole in the law. If signed into law by Governor Mike Dunleavy, that stipulation would be removed. That means sexual contact by a medical provider during the course of treatment would be considered assault regardless of the patient's awareness. However, the change can't be applied to the charges in the ongoing case against Fultz. After the bill's passage on Wednesday afternoon, Hannon gave thanks to someone who's been testifying on behalf of the bill since it was introduced earlier this year, Saithton Jamie Ann Hasselquist.
She has demonstrated great resiliency and courage to come forward, and I want to thank and acknowledge her. The updates to this bill do not impact her case. Her charges have been dismissed. The law is not retroactive, but she is advocating to make sure that future victims aren't created by cases that can't be prosecuted.
Hasselquist is one of Fultz's former patients. She testified against Fultz during the 2025 trial, and the charges associated with her accusations were the two the jury declared not guilty. It's unclear if the loophole was a factor in the dismissals. Jurors' reasons aren't made public. But shortly after the jury returned its verdict last fall, the judge in the case dismissed one of the remaining charges, and the reason he gave does involve the loophole. Judge Larry Wolford ruled that one of the alleged victim's testimony didn't match the existing legal definition of the charge for sexual assault by a medical provider. The acquittal order said the charge was dismissed because she was aware that the contact she received was, quote, sexual and that it was not a part of legitimate medical treatment, unquote. And changing that loophole was the heart of Hannon's bill. Hasselquist, the former patient, says she's been fighting for the change since her charges were acquitted, and this bill passing out of the legislature will allow her to rest. She says she hopes it also brings a bit of peace to the women whose charges are still active and may be retried.
I consistently, through my testimonies, have sent strength out to the women who are still involved in this case. And again, I know that this isn't going to help them in their case, but I hope that it brings some sort of justice to them in knowing that this loophole is closed.
And the remaining 13 charges against Fultz may still be retried, but the court has not been able to schedule a second trial yet. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery.
And we have a correction for a story we aired last week about the criminal case against a former Juneau chiropractor accused of assaulting more than a dozen women. KTLA reported an inaccurate number of total active assault counts against Jeffrey Fultz. Fultz actually faces 13 assault counts. The Alaska legislature kicked off a special session today to continue working on tax cuts for the Alaska LNG project. Governor Mike Dunleavy called the special session on Tuesday after lawmakers didn't pass the bill he introduced in late March. Most of the activity in this special session will be in the House and Senate's finance committees. The House Finance Committee got right to work Thursday with a presentation from the Department of Revenue. Senators plan to kick off hearings next week on Wednesday. Whether lawmakers will be able to find a way forward is unclear. Dunleavy says tax relief is essential to the project moving forward. But lawmakers are hesitant to give up billions of dollars in potential property tax revenue for a project they're not confident will lower energy costs or boost the state treasury. The special session comes a day after the regular legislative session adjourned. Lawmakers approved a $1,000 permanent fund dividend and a number of measures aimed at helping Alaskans and their communities deal with high oil prices. Those include a $200 energy relief payment to each PFD-eligible Alaskan, plus millions to help schools, local governments, and low-income families deal with the high cost of energy. Lawmakers also passed a variety of high-priority bills on the last day of the session, including student loan assistance for Alaska teachers, a wide-ranging crime bill, and a measure placing limits on campaign contributions in state elections. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 51 degrees, and it's getting a little bit clearer this afternoon. But the rain will probably return tomorrow. There's a 100% chance with a high of 49 degrees. Saturday, we're looking at a 90% chance of rain, also with a high of 49. And it looks like the chance may decrease over Saturday night. And Sunday and Monday look a little bit sunnier this holiday weekend. This is KTOO. Thank you for tuning in.